Are you ready to take your business to the next level? Every day there are countless books and articles that are published offering the key on how to make your business a success. It's easy to feel overwhelmed trying to keep up and run your business. That's why Deb Creer created the Business Power Hour. Keep up on the latest trends, best practices, and techniques for how to make your business a success. Let the Business Power Hour do the heavy work for you.
Good morning, good morning. I am Deb Creer, and I am passionate about giving professionals the tools that they need to make themselves and their businesses as successful as possible. And I am so excited today because we're going to be talking with my guest about something that I think every business owner complains about. We don't have time. We don't get to do the things that we want to do. And so my guest today is going to help us get back our time and be able to do what we want to do. So please join me in welcoming Mike Abramovitz to our program today. Welcome, Mike. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Deb. I appreciate it.
Perfect. Well, let me tell people a little bit about you and then we will jump into this. So Mike Abramovitz has, see it, I still am not saying it right, but that's all right. We're going to keep going. We'll just leave it out. Mike has 20 years of direct sales experience training 5,000 plus sales reps for over $17 million sold. He has 9 books in the self-help space, and he founded PB&J for Tampa Bay. He has scaled his several six-figure businesses and a nonprofit to be run without him so he can experience the freedom that he desires. He's a busy father and a husband who helps other busy entrepreneurs implement systems in their businesses by leveraging automation and delegation to help business operators become business owners and truly experience the financial and time freedom that drew them to entrepreneurship in the first place. He also has a podcast called The Better Than Rich Show and a community called Automate, Delegate, Systematize. So again, Mike, welcome. And please say your last name for us so that we get it right.
Yes, Mike Abramovitz, and really excited to be here. And you're right. We want to help people win back time, especially if you have a family and you also have a business. Man, sometimes we married the business, but we also married our spouse, and it's tough to separate the two because we love them both so much, right?
Right. Well, you know, I always love knowing from my guests how it is that they got to where they are today. So tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Well, I grew up in New Jersey, youngest of 8, and went to college in Florida over in Tampa at the University of South Florida. Mm-hmm. And my dad owned a plumbing business my whole life. So he's 83 years old. He still works 6 days a week in his plumbing business.
Oh my gosh, in Jersey?
So in Jersey, yeah, still to this day. So super ambitious, extremely mm-hmm. hardworking. And So got my engineering degree in industrial engineering from the University of South Florida. I paid my entire way through college selling Cutco, the kitchen knives, with Vector Marketing student work mm-hmm. program. So I paid my way through college. That was my like footing into sales and self-development and personal growth, because a lot of the mentorship and the student development program there kind of like entered me into that world. Upon graduation, I invested money I was earning through college, through sales. I had 3 rental properties that I owned and rented out during the
just
early
out of college.
Years. Yeah, so I bought my first house when I was 20, second at 21, and third at 22. Mm-hmm. The second one, my mom was diagnosed with ovarian cancer, and unfortunately, she passed when I was 20. So the second one, I used her life insurance money, and that's what I invested that into. Mm-hmm. So my goal in those early 20s was just like, let me just get ahead, let me grind, work, set a strong foundation, mm-hmm. so that way when I'm 40, I could like retire and right. I could be a present father mm-hmm. and a husband and all, because my dad, as much as I love him, mm-hmm. you know, he's ambitious and worked hard, mm-hmm. just kind of missed a lot of basketball games growing up. So
right.
I just wanted to be a little bit more available. Mm-hmm. But then the market collapsed of 2008 kind of crushed me. So mm-hmm. The rental properties went down. I was down to about a 400 credit score. I was negative $130,000 in mm-hmm. debt. The relationship I was in for 7 years ended. It was, I call it the valley of my 20s. It was a pretty tough time. Mm-hmm. So in my direct sales business with Cutco and Vector Marketing, I stayed with them post-college graduation and worked in owning my own company, my own office, recruiting other students to do what I did, which is pay my way through college. So that's why, you know, I've trained over 5,000 people to sell. Ended up being right over $19.5 million before I just retired from the company after 20 years, a couple months ago.
Wow.
Which is pretty great. And the challenges that I was experiencing in those 20s, I don't think is so foreign to a lot of people. I mean, sometimes circumstances happen with finances, relationship, unhealthy habits with eating, you know, a lot of things. And then to kind of interrupt that pattern, I went to my first Tony Robbins event. So I'm a big Tony Robbins fan and walked across fire. So I'm a 7-time fire walker now. And I've crewed with Tony and went, you know, to New Jersey and Miami and over in LA and just been to a bunch of his events, crewed with him. He's fantastic. But at that first event, I learned that my mess is my message. And that was circa 2012, 2013. So I took the valley and everything, that all the crap that happened to me in my 20s and I said, how might I be able to like turn that into something positive for this next season of my life in my 30s? So that was the birthplace of PB&J for Tampa Bay, where we provided over 100,000 sandwiches and meals to the less fortunate in the Tampa Bay area.
Incredible.
And that year after Tony, 2013, 2014, I spent about 300 hours speaking at the school districts in Pinellas County, crafting my message of what that is and teaching and speaking to the students, which turned into my first book, Grab Tomorrow, Your Best Year Ever. That I was really excited about that launch. We hit number one in the Amazon list, and I turned that into a curriculum teaching like goal setting and life skills in the school system. But the challenge was now I had my direct sales business and then I'm doing like book signings and speaking engagements. And I wasn't able to really find time for that family and that wife and everything that I knew I wanted. So I hired a business coach when I met my now wife. We started dating in 2014, 2015. I was like, I got to do something. So I hired a business coach 2016 to help me figure out how can I like corporatize and systemize my business so I can have a little bit more time freedom because he had an experience. He worked in India in a company that he helped scale from 6 million to 30 million and had about a 1,400 person staff that was reporting to him. So he left that to come to the States to teach small business owners how to systemize their business. So I hired him. I was one of his students and he taught me how to do that in my direct sales business. So 2016, 17, 18, 19, really dialing in these business systems, buying back my time. I launched the 9 books and I started sunsetting some of that and realizing like, wow, let me just keep doing this direct sales thing, double down on it, went all in, and then COVID hit.
And you could no longer visit.
You know, correct. So what was cool is all the systems that we put in place for my business, which was like, installing virtual assistants and offshore assistants, installing automation, installing different predictable systems. We essentially McDonald-ified my business. And then COVID hit. It was all systems go. We provided over 1,000 jobs that year.
Nice.
We went virtual with everything. We were poised for it. And we did about $2.5 million in sales that year and just absolutely crushed it. It was really fantastic. Like we absolutely did a great job. And on December 31st, 2020 was when my son was born, but he came a little early. He was born at 26 weeks.
Wow.
So he was
a tiny little dude.
Yeah, he was 1 pound, 4 ounces. And so we didn't know how long we were going to be in the hospital with him, but my wife left her corporate job working for Bic Graphic, the pens. She became a full-time medical mom and our son was in the hospital in the NICU for 254 days, so 8.5 months. And during that time frame, my business ran without me for those 8.5 months and still produced $250,000 in revenue and 6 figures in profits because of those systems we installed. And so when we got out of the hospital, September 10th, 2021, I called my coach and I said, everything that you taught me, I don't know where we'd be if we didn't do this. Do you think this is something we might be able to teach other people?
Right.
And said, let's find out. So that was the birthplace of Better Than Rich and what we're doing now, which is helping high-earning business professionals buy back time by installing business systems and predictable outcomes with AI delegation into their business. So that way they could buy that time back and reinvest that time into what matters most to them. And we've helped hundreds of people now. And we have our clients and our students and our community that we've built on the back end of what I thought was going to be complete desperation with how do I replace my wife's income as she became a full-time medical mom. So that's the full story. With that, we could unpack any piece of that that is relevant to your listener, because there's a lot. And that's why I do these podcast guesting, because you know, I feel like sometimes we get into different chapters and different seasons of life and we think that that's how life is going to be, but it's just a season. And that's kind of how business is, you know, whether you're, you know, doesn't matter where you're at. So that's a very long answer.
Oh, you know, I love
back
it.
To you, Deb.
I love it. Well, you know, the thing is, we have to adapt and change. And I think that's why so many businesses fail. And COVID was obviously a huge example of that, that, you know, businesses could not adapt. And they, you know, for whatever reason, you know, maybe it was that they didn't have enough financial reserves. They didn't have the right people in the right things. I mean, I always, you know, joke partially that every micromanager who wanted to be able to touch his people that reported to him, you know, those people just, their little heads exploded because they couldn't reach out and touch their employees anymore, right? But, you know, I always like to tell people, prepare for things in advance. You know, we need to do the Boy Scout motto of be prepared. Now, clearly you weren't planning on COVID, but you knew, you know, I love that you mentioned the fact that you knew that your business could continue without you. And that's kind of, that's funny because that's kind of an ego hit, right? Because, well, we're the business, but it gave you the ability that, as you said, your business went on merrily without you, and you were able to dedicate the time needed to your wife and your son, which was obviously the highest priority.
Yeah. And you said it best, there's a JFK quote, the best time to work on the roof is when the sun is shining. And essentially, if I didn't spend the resources and have intentions of putting these systems in place prematurely, you know, there's no way that we would have been able to do what we've been able to do. So my counsel that I received and the counsel that I offer is really thinking about when is now a good time. And usually it's not going to be during the season of unpredictability.
Yeah. If you're having to play catch up, you're in a, in a bad place.
Yeah. So if you're in a place right now where you're listening to this right at this moment, it's probably a good season for you to say, all right, let me question all of the processes of my business. Let me question my systems. Let me question all my if-thens. Let me question the user experience for my clients and also for the talent that I'm in bringing them into my business. Question the entire process, reverse engineer it, start to finish, forwards and backwards, and just see if there, what friction points there are. Where is there any type, we call them friction points, but any type of hiccup, any type of inconsistency, anytime the experience is not meeting expectations. And once we kind of poke around and really question that as business owners, then we can say, where can I install team or tech to create more predictability? And from that place, then we say, great, how can I create a policy or a playbook that that team and tech can follow? So the system, the playbooks, the team and the tech all kind of work together, but we also need to make sure that the business owner understands what their priorities are, because the priorities, the business is not your life. The business is a vehicle to pursue your life. So we need to know what are the boundaries around which you want to build your life around. So, and all of this is a framework that I call the Time Rich Six. And then, you know, we could unpack that and go in any direction, but this is what I love to bring to business owners and most people, but you know, someone who's interested in business is really who I really think this is most relevant to, because they're in control. If they're working for someone else, they don't have, they have a little bit.
You don't have as much freedom to be able to, yeah, to do exactly, some of these things.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and I talk with a lot of business owners, and on this program, we've talked with a lot of people about how to become a business owner. And, you know, you go into business because there's something you love, right? And you think, hey, I want to do this. Now, sometimes we're forced into it. You know, oops, got laid off. Well, okay, maybe I'll start a business. But for the most part, it really is that we love whatever it is. We don't love the paperwork, the invoicing, the, you know, all of those things. And the sad thing is, so many people think they have to do those things as the business owner. And when you tell them, no, you know, you don't. Now, part of it, they'll go, oh, that costs money. But, and it does, you know, let's be honest, you know, and especially, you know, some of these things, now, in some cases, it might be more, in some cases, it might be less, but it is going to cost something. But you're getting back the most important thing. And you mentioned it, that time. You are getting back time to either do what you love in your business, to go to the movies with your kids, to do whatever it is, as and not be invoicing, you know, all of those things that that business owners go, I hate doing this part.
Well, there's a great resource that's helped me a ton contextualize this. And it's one of my favorite books that I highly recommend. It's called Buy Back Your Time by Dan Martell. And Dan talks about a couple of different things that I'll share with your listener right now. The first one is the 10-80-10 principle. So the 10-80-10 principle is I do the first 10%. The middle 80% is done by team and tech. And then I do the final 10%.
Nice.
That's the first part. He also says in the book that 80% done by somebody else is 100% awesome. So that's another thing he says in the book. And another thing he talks about in the book is the replacement ladder, which is what are the tasks that we want to replace first? And the first is administrative.
Right.
Because administrative
the stuff is the that lowest. Really can be automated or outsourced.
Of course, it's the lowest value. And there are people that are thrilled to do that. Right. It's just that you can pay, you know, I know this is all around the world, but you could pay a lower wage to somebody else to do administrative. What is administrative? That's social media, inbox management, calendar management, video editing, graphic designs. I mean, these are the types of things, like you said, invoicing, bookkeeping, any of those types of things that are administrative, data entry, CRM management, that could be offloaded to the, that's administrative. And then from there, there's marketing and fulfillment. Within marketing and fulfillment, there's probably some administrative too, but then you offload those. Those are expert level in some cases, where if we're going to delegate, there's a follow me, I'll show you how to do it. And then there's been there, done that. So you're right. Either both of those have a different cost. If I'm a business owner though, I'm going to do all of this until I want to buy back my time. I'm going to then hire this person, not so I could go make a sandwich, but so that way I could spend my time on the higher value, higher value activities, which are sales and leadership. Sales to drive revenue and leadership, strategy, strategic partnerships, redesigning, working on the business versus in the business, concepts of like strategy of what I just mentioned, questioning all the if-thens, finding friction points, finding maybe there's a higher tier offer that we could bring into the business. Maybe there's getting a little bit more clarity on who the avatar, the ideal client is that you're looking to market to, questioning the entire prospect journey and the client journey. What are ascension offers to create higher lifetime values with your clients? I mean, there's so much that the business owner can do to work on the business, but sometimes they're so stuck in the weeds of doing the in the business work. So So I push back on the scarcity mindset of like, oh, I got to pay for that. It's like you're either paying for that with your time, and now your time is dedicated to low value tasks, and it's being pulled from the high value tasks, or take your money, offload the low value tasks, and then dedicate your time to the high value tasks. So we offset that. So I always like to start off with a dollar per hour audit. So a time audit, and this is a free resource that any of your listeners I'd be glad to give to. But it's, I have a 25-page, it's time audit. It start with a dollar per hour, and then all the low value activities and all the high value activities. But let's say somebody wanted to make, and I'll just pick a number. I know it's currencies all around the world, but let's say $300,000 for the year. And if they want to make $300,000 for the year, we say, how many hours a week do I want to work in exchange for 300,000? So if someone said, I want to work 40 hours a week. Great. How many weeks a year do you want to work? I want to work 48 weeks. I want to take 4 weeks off. Okay. So we take 40 times 48. That's 1,920 hours. So if I want to make $300,000 divided by 1920, that means my hour is worth $156 per hour. So now I look at $156 and I say, what are my tasks that are below that dollar per hour? And what are my tasks that are worth above $156? And now it's just an audit. If you ever have a question on that, just go to like indeed.com and look up administrative assistant. Right. It's going to be a lower than $156.
They're probably not $156 or they're really, really good, right?
so that is that way the business owner can work in their genius, what brings them energy and also what brings them revenue.
Right. And joy. You know, I think that's the other thing is we get so caught up in the weeds that it's not fun anymore. You know, I think that's one of the things that people tell me the most about why they're not in business anymore. It wasn't fun. And that's because they're doing all of those administrative tasks and you know, so many things that they don't need to be doing.
Well, here again, business is a game. Okay. And I truly believe that. And just like any game, there's a scoreboard on how to win that game.
Right.
And a business owner needs to understand, regardless of what business you're in, what is your metrics of keeping score? Is it sales? Is it revenue? Is it profit? Is it, you know, whatever it might be, there's a scoreboard. So we need,
and
as
we
a business
keep score,
owner,
folks. This is not, no, we get class participation time.
No, we need to know. We need to know what is the scoreboard. You create the rules for your business. So it's like we could go in any business, does not matter, any business, there is a scoreboard. We call those KPIs, key performance indicators, right? So whatever that number is, whatever drives that number is the business owner's responsibility. Period, full stop. Everything else is a supporting role. The business owner drives the score and puts team in place to support. And we keep it as simple as that. So if the business owner is doing the playing a supporting role to their business, they're really not a business owner. They're they're essentially an operator. They're essentially just have a job.
They're the manager, coordinator.
And that's okay. But that's why, you know, they might leave that business because the, you know, the saying, somebody might quit a 9-to-5 to work a 24/7, you know, and that's what a lot of these people, they call themselves business owners, but really not, they're not owning a business. They just have a glorified job. And instead of having a boss, their new boss is all of their staff and all of their
and
clients.
And we hear it, the business owns them.
Sure. Yeah. And we don't want that. We don't want that. It doesn't have to be that way. We just got to look at it differently. And like, I'll give you an example. When I was in my direct sales business, I felt like there was no escape because every single person was trying to get in touch with me, Deb. So I had a thousand, like over a thousand people buy Cutco from me. So all my clients that wanted to buy Cutco, they had my personal cell phone number.
And they wanted 24/7 availability.
Sure, and they could get in touch with me. They could get my attention at any point in time. Then I had these recruits that were looking for a job. They were also had my phone number saying, hey, I need a job. And then I had the current team who was selling Cutco. They had my phone number saying, hey, I need help with my job. So I had three different parties coming in to grab my attention 24/7. So it constantly put me into reaction mode. So if we are, if we build a business like I did in my 20s, where I built the infrastructure of my business where I am the bottleneck, that's the problem. So the problem isn't the business. The problem is the infrastructure, the system, the playground in which the business was built. That's what I mean by questioning all the if-thens. So then we peel back. It's like, what are all the scenarios as to How can I replace? Mm-hmm. What are the communication guidelines mm-hmm. and the boundaries I want to put in place for my customers, for my recruits, and also for my team? Mm-hmm. If someone needed my attention, it was an emergency, is different than if somebody needed my attention because they had a quick question.
Right.
Which is different from someone who wanted to schedule a time mm-hmm. for us to have a longer conversation. Mm-hmm. So it's like all these different scenarios, I just had to come up with what are the scenarios mm-hmm. and what are the plays for each of those scenarios, mm-hmm. just like a football team. Mm-hmm. It's like you have a playbook with
it's
all these different
down,
plays.
What the heck are we going to do?
What play are mm-hmm. we going to call? But we premeditate what mm-hmm. are the plays. We have a playbook mm-hmm. filled with all these plays, and then you pull a play mm-hmm. as it's needed.
Right.
And that's what a business owner needs to do. Figure mm-hmm. out all the scenarios, create their playbooks, mm-hmm. and then put those into mm-hmm. put them into play to create these communication guidelines for their business.
Right. You know, and the trick is, you know, on that same line, you want to have everything going well. You do not want to be doing and having to rely on a Hail Mary every single time, you know, because that's not going to work. You're going to get it every once in a while. And the rest of the time, you're going to be playing catch up and get so far behind that you can't, you know, you can't catch up. You know, it's, I love that you talk, you know, that your community is called Automate, Delegate, Systematize, because there are so many things in what we do that can be automated, delegated, and systematized. You know, I tell people I hate invoicing. That's why I always bring it up. It's just one of those things. I mean, I actually had clients contact me and say, you haven't billed us in a while. That's embarrassing, right? Mm-hmm. And good on them that they actually said, hey, you haven't done this for a while. And so when I discovered that I could go into QuickBooks, because that's just what I use, and automate my monthly billing, lights went on, the angels sang. Now, this was some stupid thing, but it took me, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes to set it up. It was not because it's all the same. It's repetitive. And, you know, and it's like, okay, the last day of the month, this goes out. If they haven't paid by X, it's automated that they get a reminder. I mean, all of these things, and that's just built into the system. But that freed up hours of my time, because otherwise it was like, oh, and like I said, I'd put it off. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I think that's one of the first things that many people need to think about is what can they automate?
Mm-hmm. The way I like to think about automation or AI or any mm-hmm. of these technologies, mm-hmm. any of these tools, mm-hmm. they're like the last thing that we install into right. the business, because there is always going to be mm-hmm. a solution. So realistically, what happened for you, Deb, in that scenario mm-hmm. was you're like, there's got to be another way of getting this invoicing mm-hmm. done is the question that was on the table. Mm-hmm. So what are other ways that this invoicing could get done in a more efficient, effective way? Mm-hmm. And oh, here's a solution to it. I think about it. I think about any type of technology solution as, and anytime there's resistance to a tech solution, the analogy I use is a cell phone, because a lot of us might remember the flip phone, right? Mm-hmm, and the right. only thing the flip phone was for was making a phone call.
Right.
But if we had to remember, if we needed directions somewhere, we had like mm-hmm. either a paper map, and if mm-hmm. we were lost, we mm-hmm. would have to go drive to the gas station nearby and ask them, how do I get to my destination? Mm-hmm. The automation tool that you just said is called now on a cell phone, a GPS. Mm-hmm. So it's not like the GPS is some mystical, magical thing. It just makes it so mm-hmm. much easier to mm-hmm. do what you could still go. Someone could still have right. a paper map and go to the mm-hmm. gas station and ask the guy for help. But the GPS is just so much easier.
I know.
And it's right at your fingertips.
Right.
And that's essentially what technology and automations can mm-hmm. do for every business owner for all different aspects. Mm-hmm. So I highly recommend a couple of different different items, like a scheduling software, mm-hmm. meaning
you used our scheduling software to set up this interview.
Very important. If somebody wants to get on your schedule, having a different event for a different type of purpose. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because I mean, that's one of the biggest time wasters in the world. So, hey, Mike, will Tuesday at 2 work? Oh, no, yeah. That won't work. How about that? You know, and pretty soon you've forgotten why you contacted them, or it got lost in your spam. You know, when you use, and there's multiple versions, I love them all. because they all do different things. So, you know, it's kind of with, you know, some are free, some are paid, all of that stuff. But just to eliminate those stupid back and forth emails, it's like, oh my God, again, the lights came on, the angel sang.
Another great one is a learning management software. Mm-hmm. So if you find yourself repeating yourself, then you want to record yourself. Mm-hmm. So recording yourself with videos and then putting them into some sort of
frequently asked questions,
Kajabi or Thinkific or something like that. And that becomes an FAQ. Or if you have a course, if you run a business and you have a course, instead of posting it on a YouTube that's not like as organized, you put it into like some sort of learning management software that's a little bit more easy for a curriculum. Also internal communication with your team. What we use is Slack, but if you want to have internal communication with your clients or your team, using a platform where you can delegate easily. So if you are using like text message, iMessage to communicate with your team or email, the challenge is it's a little bit more difficult to delegate to someone else is what I found. And also for quick hitting. So I like using a technology like a WhatsApp or Slack or GroupMe or Circle or something like this. So these are just a couple of simple ones. And then of course you get like AI in there. We all know ChatGPT exists, but there's so many different use cases for GPT. And one of the best ones that we use for our AI powered virtual assistant team is using the tone analyzer and the writing style.
And what
we could use on that.
Make
is really
this
good.
More humorous, make this just simple things like that.
So to take that even a step further, Deb, what our team does for every one of our clients, we have somewhere between 60 and 70 clients that use our services, and we will take their tone, their writing style from blogs they wrote, books they wrote, long form content that they wrote, and we will train the AI on that writing style and say, I want you to respond in this writing style and in this tone, create more content like this, respond to this email like this, send a message to this person in that tone. So that way, all of these business owners can have a virtual assistant sounding like them, acting like them. It's just not being sent by the business owner. So that's been a game changer for me. And then you pair that with like even video editing softwares with AI to take podcast interviews. I've been on 60 podcasts. So taking those shows, chopping them up in a more efficient way and a little bit more effective, repurposing them into reels, and then coming up with captions and hashtags that are optimized. So the AI has truly been a game changer, but it's just, again, it's like the cell phone.
It's a tool.
But having that human component to know how to use that GPS or how to use that tool is still needed. So having those two together, human powered by AI, we call it AI powered virtual assistants or AI powered delegation, has been an absolute game changer for me and also for our students.
And for people who just had heart attacks when we were talking AI, it is a little scary. And folks, let's be honest, this has been around a long time. This is not something that just happened in the last year or so. You know, we've had versions of this.
We just have access now.
Right. You know, but what it is doing is exactly what Mike is saying. It's freeing us up to do other things. It's, you know, it's not, you know, maybe it's taking somebody's job, but it's freeing them to do something else. Maybe it's freeing them, you know, because they didn't like doing that part. So now they get to do something else, you know, and you know, I think we're going to see a lot of, you know, back and forth on all of this, but, you know, I love it. I mean, I take a paragraph that I have written for a marketing thing, and I'll put it in ChatGPT, and all I will say is, please rewrite this marketing paragraph. It's always, always, always better than what I originally wrote, which I'm not sure what that says about what I write. But yeah, it's, and I read it and I go, woo, don't I sound impressive? Right?
It's so there is a little bit of a dance here, because as a business owner, we do want to maintain our own voice. We want to maintain the way we're speaking to our audience. So there is that dance where I do highly encourage anybody that's listening to train the AI in your tone. So in your example, Deb, I would say, describe my writing style the way, so if you say in addition to making this better, mm-hmm. I would pair it with describe my writing style. How mm-hmm. is this written? Mm-hmm. And then it will tell you this is in a professional, fun tone. Mm-hmm. It has a casual undertone to mm-hmm. it. And then it's like, tell me more about this.
Right.
Tell me more about this writing style. What else do you need to know about this writing style? Really train mm-hmm. it like mm-hmm. you would train a human.
Right.
To learn and understand. And then you say what you said, which is like, great. In this writing style mm-hmm. that you now know,
write this.
Can you write, mm-hmm. can you rewrite what I sent to you mm-hmm. with this tone mm-hmm. as an example? And then that way it's impressive, mm-hmm. but it stays with the consistency mm-hmm. of you as a brand mm-hmm. of what it means to be you. So, because I'll tell you right now, most sophisticated individuals can sense if it's a bot. Okay.
Right. So I love those because I like to trip them up, right?
The sniff test, right? So if somebody has just very generic copy, you know, that's being created by AI mm-hmm. that they're just posting on their emails or social media or whatnot, It's not going to land. It's not going to get the response from the marketplace. Right. So that's why I recommend making sure that we train mm-hmm. the AI to sound like us. So it's not very difficult at all. And I'm sure there's tons of videos of learning how to do that. But you know, if that's something that, you know, somebody would want some help mm-hmm. with, of course, we can have a conversation right. around it. I'd be glad to have that convo, but it's not hard. Mm-hmm. It's just one or two extra steps. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we don't want to do that work. It's just like, here's the quick thing. Just give mm-hmm. me what I want. Mm-hmm. So I highly encourage if you're in business, mm-hmm. use the AI. Don't be scared of it, but mm-hmm. make sure that you're understanding how to use it appropriately in the best way possible. Mm-hmm. It's evolving by the day. Right. So it's hard to be fully up to date.
Yeah. You know, and new tools, new software. I mean, all sorts of things. You know, and it is a little scary. I mean, you know, when it does some of these things. But to me, I also think, whoa, this is cool. You know, I like it when it types. I'm like watching it type. I'm, you know, I'm the kid with bright, shiny objects. But, you know, it will, you know, when I put in the right prompts and things like that, it will do in 30 seconds at the most. It's probably like 10 seconds, right? What would have taken me hours to do, and it's done it better. You know, and I love that because then, yeah, I've got this time to go do whatever it is that I want to go do.
It's and just a small use case. It's so sophisticated now. Where I said this morning, my Fitbit just died. Like, it's not working.
Oh,
anymore.
No.
So I went into GPT mm-hmm. and I said, I want you to search the internet mm-hmm. for up to date step tracker and sleeping tracker watches that are similar to the Alta Fitbit mm-hmm. HR
right.
that are under $150. Mm-hmm. See what you can find. Mm-hmm. And it took its time, searched and gave me four options. I went and looked at the four options to see what they are, mm-hmm. Googled them real quick to make sure they match. Boom. Mm-hmm. I bought one of them mm-hmm. and it'll be delivered tomorrow.
Yeah. Through, you know,
through Amazon Prime. What's the point of that? The point of that is, what I initially was going to do is like, all right, let me go to Google and research. Mm-hmm. And I started doing that. I started like Googling it myself. I'm like, I don't want to look at this.
Because then
you
would have gotten sidetracked. Oh, okay. Well, this one does this. And hey, you know, and then pretty soon you forgot what you were doing.
Yeah. So this was a great simple use case that I just did this morning. I mean, I spend more time on GPT going back and forth on business ideas, ways to add things mm-hmm. like, what questions can you ask me in order to curate a little bit more clarity on mm-hmm. blank? Mm-hmm. And like, it'll just ask me a bunch of questions and I fill in the answers to those questions mm-hmm. about my high ticket offer, mm-hmm. about the avatar who I'm marketing to. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many of these types of examples I'm trying to think of off the top, but it is such a great assistant. It's a great mm-hmm. coach. It's a great soundboard. I love it. I love the prompt of ask what else am I missing here? Mm-hmm. Ask me more questions to help me get even more clarity about, mm-hmm. you know, about this. So.
Right. You know, it's funny. I have a friend that teaches how to use AI and, you know, obviously she's just started this within about the last 6 months, but one of the things, and I thought this was the weirdest thing in the world. She said, talk to it like it is a person. And, you know, we're, you know, typing or, you know, however you're doing it. And she said, be polite and say thank you. And she said, you will get different responses. And so I started playing, and it was true. It was like, you know, it was very, you know, it was, but, you know, it was very brusque and businesslike. But when I would say, thank you so much, it would, you know, now it is programmed in there, folks, to say, you're very welcome, right? But it was so strange. When I was polite to it, it seemed to, you know, it seemed to treat me better. Like I said, I'm the kid with bright, shiny objects.
One other fun thing, if you haven't done this yet, I do a lot of journaling. Mm-hmm. So I'll take a picture of my journal and send it into GPT. So it types it out for me. That's one really cool thing. So that way my handwritten stuff is now text. Mm-hmm. Another thing that I do with it is if I have an image and one of my assistants creates a graphic design, like an image, I'll say, what can make this image even better for this type of audience? Right. And you could post images and it can, it's helping our internals team just give feedback, giving feedback on pictures that you can use now. It's super helpful. And then there's other AI tools outside of GPT where it does video footage and creating videos and whatnot, but lots of use cases. Again, if you're a business owner, can't emphasize enough. It's not like a foreign concept at this point for most people that I come across in business. Now it's like, how do I maximize its potential? Right. Me, I'm not on the cutting edge. Like someone asked me, it's like, well, what's the cool new AI that you guys are using? I'm like, I have a team that does that.
You know, and you still use ChatGPT, which has been around a year?
I can't. It's like going back to life before GPT. I'm like, I don't get it. You know?
Oh yeah. Yeah. You know, and like I said, it frees me up. You know, when I started working, I have an initiative to deal with people or help people who have cancer or anyone who is supporting them. So of course, you know, you want to have a blog, right? For a year, I wanted to have a blog. And when I finally thought, okay, I'm going to use ChatGPT, and I used the free version, but for what I'm wanting, it works fine because, you know, I'm not pulling in current data, you know, and all of those things. But when I would say, okay, I want to write a blog post about this and this and this, it went boogity, 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 and it wrote the blog post. And then I go back in and I personalize it, right? That word's not a word I would use, or, you know, all of those things. But it, you know, I went from staring at a blank computer screen for a year to having actual work done.
Yeah. And that's the 10-80-10. You did the first 10% by giving it a prompt. It did the middle 80%, and then you put your final 10% touch on it.
Right. Hey.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, we've been talking about it, you know, that it is a virtual assistant. There are actual people who are virtual assistants also. And it's one of those things that I think so many people are hesitant to do. You know, they want, because they think, well, I need an employee. Well, maybe you need a couple hours a week, right? My producer for this program is a virtual assistant. She has been with me for 4 years, 5 years, so long that we're just attached to the hip now. But she does, it's exactly what we've been talking about. She does the things that need to be done that I don't want to do. Could I do them? Yes, I used to have to before I hired her, but she does them. And here's the thing, folks, she does them better than I would have done.
Oh, big time. Mm-hmm. And that's the human element, the virtual assistant. Mm-hmm. I would not call AI virtual assistant. I would put AI under the umbrella of technology more so than virtual assistant personally, but it depends on what you want to call it. Mm-hmm. When I think about virtual assistant, I think about a human assistant.
Mm-hmm. Right. That person, my Kim.
That works virtually, right? So that works virtually, that's on the computer, on demand. But these humans are really a key part because the technology can only go so far.
Right.
So the technology can create something, but we still need the human sometimes to click the button or the human to send it to the appropriate location to do that final 10% to fix it up a little bit. So for me, I personally, at this moment, while I'm here talking with you, I have probably 12 or 13 virtual assistants, like you said, Kim, is that what you said?
Yes.
You know,
just lovely like Kim. And talented Kim.
Yeah. So I have Just to give you an example, I have someone right now researching podcasts mm-hmm. that they think I should be on. Mm-hmm. I have someone else emailing those podcast mm-hmm. hosts.
Well, that happened clearly
to mm-hmm. get me on their shows mm-hmm. or introduce me to them mm-hmm. at least. I have someone else in my Facebook inbox right now finding prospects on Facebook mm-hmm. that might be a good prospect mm-hmm. that I should connect with. Mm-hmm. Same on LinkedIn, same on Instagram. Right. I have someone else in my email, my mm-hmm. Gmail and my Outlook emails, mm-hmm. managing those inboxes and making sure that that's mm-hmm. being cleared out every single morning mm-hmm. and evening. If anyone's requesting resources or mm-hmm. documents, sending those things over, booking up my appointments mm-hmm. on my schedule, rescheduling things mm-hmm. if they need to get scheduled. So those are a couple of examples. Then we have our own podcast. So we have somebody else that's mm-hmm. producing the podcast, somebody else who's taking those episodes, mm-hmm. turning them into short reels, someone else getting captions and posts from those episodes. Mm-hmm. So there's this whole orchestra, mm-hmm. a whole orchestra right. of humans that are getting things done using AI as mm-hmm. a tool, but the humans are able mm-hmm. to work way more right. efficient. And that's essentially what we created with our service for that reason. It's like a one-stop shop of operations. That's what they do for me. Mm-hmm. And we just offer this to other business owners right. to like, right. here's this one-stop shop of a whole team of virtual assistants right. that can use AI to help you get stuff done if you need.
And it's perfect because, you know, most of those people that you just talked about, that was not an 8-hour day worth of work. Might've been an hour, might've been two, you know, whatever you need. Right. But, and then they go and they do the same thing or something different for somebody else. I mean, you know, and so it's definitely a win-win, you know, because they've got maybe 4 or 5 people that they're working with. And, you know, on a variety of views, so they've got lots of variety, right? So that's always fun. But, you know, I discovered because I had several VAs that didn't work out. They didn't work out, and it was my fault. These were wonderful people. These were talented people. These were knowledgeable people. But when I finally figured out, okay, what I needed to do was exactly what you were talking about in the very start. I needed to basically create a job description. And then say, I need you to do this and this and this and this. Here is the template email that you send. Here is the template response that you send. Now, and, you know, and when I did that, I allowed them to be successful. And then, of course, what I said was, as you're doing this more and more, you'll find better ways to do it. You know, maybe they kept getting the same question over and over again. Okay, well, then you build that into the emails, you know, all of those things. And so part of that was that, you know, Kim, as I said, the lovely and talented Kim, who I could not do without, she can look at it and go, okay, I answered this same question 8 times. Maybe I need to actually put that in the email. And she knows she doesn't have to ask me. She doesn't have to run it. She just does it. You know, and so that's the other thing. Because we would empower our employees to make those decisions, our full-time, I'm putting that in my little air quotes, employees, they're our employees also. They're just not working for us 40 hours a week.
Yeah. And with, here's the short version mm-hmm. is, I had my first team of virtual assistants that I sourced from Fiverr and Upwork.com. So my mm-hmm. books, my logo of my books, mm-hmm. the copy editing for my books, the
Fiverr's a great resource.
Kindle, mm-hmm. Direct publishing, the formatting, all of that was done through Fiverr and mm-hmm. Upwork. It just took me a lot of time mm-hmm. to find the quality people, right. to make mm-hmm. sure I vetted them, to make sure they were reliable.
And
all of
English
that.
Speaking, all know, of because it. That all depends. Yeah.
But mm-hmm. a lot of it was low cost. So it was mm-hmm. low dollars,
right.
but it was high time commitment mm-hmm. to find
yeah,
the right
and if
people.
You had to redo it, then that was, you know, not going to work at all. Mm-hmm.
But eventually I went the full other way mm-hmm. where I paid a company $2,500 mm-hmm. to find me a talented mm-hmm. person. Got me my talented person, but then it was like you said, I had to give her a bunch of stuff that I didn't have built out. I didn't have right. processes. I mm-hmm. didn't have the templates.
It was in your head.
Sure. So I had to like, I was paying her. I paid this mm-hmm. company just to have someone sit on the sidelines for a little too long, where I wish I had a little bit more predictable, mm-hmm. you know, tools mm-hmm. or solutions for her. And then as she grew with me, I would have a list of like mm-hmm. 15 items that I wanted to get mm-hmm. done. And she was the bottleneck because she could only do one thing at a time. Mm-hmm. So then I went to like Indeed and hired internal
team. Right, we need more. Mm-hmm.
I need more. So let me go hire internal team, interview them, train them, hire mm-hmm. them, onboard them, pay their taxes, mm-hmm. all of that. And then they would quit. And then I got to do that whole thing all over mm-hmm. again. So that's essentially what we built for me was an account mm-hmm. manager model where mm-hmm. I give my mm-hmm. stuff that I need to one person mm-hmm. and that one person has a team of 30 right. to 40 people that
and they
are specialized,
do whatever they magic they need to do
whatever and mm-hmm. so that's essentially what we built for me with those like 12 or 13 and now mm-hmm. we have this team that we do this for our clients and it's been so powerful. And anybody that's listening, you don't need our service by any means. You could go in any of these mm-hmm. directions. But the big aha that I would love for you to get is that we saw a problem and a need mm-hmm. in the marketplace based on the pain that I saw, mm-hmm. the pain on the high, right. high toss of time, mm-hmm. the pain of high cost mm-hmm. of dollars, mm-hmm. and the pain of having to, you know, do the whole process, mm-hmm. find good people, and then do it again when they quit.
Right.
We built our yeah, business.
You have vetted all of them
mm-hmm. to solve a problem that is to make it a one-stop mm-hmm. shop. But we have qualified mm-hmm. trained people. We have these things in place. So somebody who just wants a convenient option, boom, they could come to Better Than Rich mm-hmm. and we can help them with that. So I think for everyone, if you're going into business by circumstance or by choice, either way, the most important thing to do is solve a problem in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. And if you can solve a problem and make life better for right. your client, you're gonna be able to do well. Mm-hmm. And people will pay you based upon how large mm-hmm. of a problem that you can solve mm-hmm. for them.
Right. Yeah, because that's the whole marketing thing. You know, what is their pain and how can we solve it? Now, I like to put a little bit different twist on that because I don't like to think about pain. So it's how can we bring them pleasure? You know, how are they going to go, oh my gosh, this is great. You know, and but it's the same concept. You know, how what can we do to help them do what it whatever it is better?
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of the Superman model, or maybe it was $6 million man, make him bigger, stronger, faster. I just gave away my age, right? But yeah, it is, you know, how can we do that? Because what it comes back to is what we were saying at the very start. How can we, as the business owner, do what we want to do in a way that it works the best and gives us time back to do whatever we want with it, you know, and I love that you use your time with your family, you know, and I mean, how many times have we seen people who, you know, you mentioned your dad, love him dearly, but he missed a lot of basketball games. Same with my dad, you know, loved him, but there was a lot of stuff that he missed out on. And was that his choice? No. I mean, you know, he would have been there if he could, but now we do have the capability, you know, okay, back to $6 million man, we have the technology, right? So, you know, why not use it? And I think that's the key thing is, you know, don't be afraid of it, folks. You know, it might seem a little spooky and a little scary, but we trust Siri. Now, that said, Siri loves to put me in places where I'm not supposed to be. She gets really annoyed when I don't always pay attention to her. So I think she goes, mm-hmm, yeah, I'm going to fix you. you know, but you know, it is that thing where, you know, we love Siri. We love, you know, being able, even if it's just something like auto dial, I mean, all of those things, we love that. And because we do that, it's freeing us up to do something else.
Mm, exactly right. And that's why you as a business owner just need to know what those priorities mm-hmm. are and be reminded that your business is a vehicle for those mm-hmm. priorities. And one of the things I'd love to give a gift to anybody, I mentioned the time mm-hmm. audit. Mm-hmm. What I'd love to pair that time audit workbook with, if anyone's listening to this could benefit from mm-hmm. having a conversation, I've been doing these recently and I would love to do it for your mm-hmm. your guests too. I'm calling it a 90-day delegation planning session.
Okay.
And I'm doing this 100% for free to sit down with a business owner who wants to audit their business and audit their tasks to mm-hmm. figure out what are the lower value tasks mm-hmm. that can get delegated, and how might we be able to delegate mm-hmm. them the most efficient way so mm-hmm. they can buy back their time.
Cool.
And so I'll give them the workbook and mm-hmm. end this free session. It's about 30 to 40 minutes mm-hmm. and helping them with their wow. business. And they could go to betterthanrich.com/90-day plan. That's 90-day plan. Mm-hmm. And when they go to betterthanrich.com/90-day plan, that's my calendar right now. That's okay. not going to be forever. Mm-hmm. It's just, I'm getting a lot of energy from having mm-hmm. these conversations with these business owners that want to buy back their time, that want to understand mm-hmm. how they can use virtual assistants, or mm-hmm. how can they use team or tech or systems to get a little bit more time mm-hmm. freedom so they could spend that time on what matters mm-hmm. most to them. So again, you'll automatically get the workbook and the session, betterthanrich.com/90-day plan.
Cool.
So
and we'll put that in the show notes.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Perfect. I love it. Thank you. Well, oh my gosh, Mike, you know, this has been great fun. And but we've learned, right? You know, I've learned I need to do more of this. Yeah, I need to do more. But, you know, it's so fun, and we shouldn't be scared of it, folks. It's here. You can't ignore it. And if you ignore it, you do it at your own peril, you know, because everybody else is going to use it. So you're going to get run over, you know, and so why not benefit from it? So again, tell us a little bit more about where people find you and what are the services that you provide.
Sure. Well, that link would be the best way to find me okay. directly, because not everyone can get onto my calendar. Mm-hmm. But I'm giving that as a gift to those, you know, that I think really help as I'm doing these podcast guesting. But yeah, betterthanrich.com/90-day plan. The services that I do offer on the other end of that, if we figure out that there are some low value tasks that we can actually help you with, we'll install our virtual assistant team into your business and tackle all those tasks for you. Depending on the task, if that's something mm-hmm. that's within our wheelhouse. And if not, I know they'll get a lot of value from the session. And then we also have our Time Rich program mm-hmm. Under the umbrella of operator to owner, which helps these leaders and these business owners mm-hmm. understand the system side, where they're like, I already have a virtual assistant, but my systems are a complete mess. Mm-hmm. We can help them with like our mm-hmm. done for you, done with you services. We have a mastermind group that we run, and we also have a bunch of support, like quarterly summits. We call them get shit done summits is what they're called. But we hop on Zoom mm-hmm. for 3-4 hours and actually get stuff across the finish line cool. for these individuals. So again, it just depends on what the business owner needs. We're usually pretty accommodating if someone is a high earning business owner that just wants time freedom. Mm-hmm. They're not like worried about the scarcity. They're not like, oh my God, I have no money. How can mm-hmm. I get time back? Well, if you have no money, then you need to be spending your time. But if you have some cash where you're, mm-hmm. you know, you're a high earner and you're like, I have money, I mm-hmm. just really want to buy that time back. Mm-hmm. I know we can help you.
I love it. I love it. So much fun. Well, you know, we are at the top of the hour. Do you have any final thoughts that you want to leave everyone with?
My final thoughts would be, know what season of business, or know what season of life that you're in right now. If you're in a winter season where things are challenging, just know that it's a season. It's not how it is. And I would approach winter with the mindset to know that spring always follows winter. And just right now, weather the storm. And then when spring comes, get ready to plant the seeds. And when spring is there, make sure you're planting the seeds for the crops that you want to harvest in the fall. So if you want oranges, make sure you're planting orange seeds. Apples, plant apple seeds. Summer season, make sure you work your tail off. One thing at a time. Make sure you're really intentional. And fall, reap the rewards of those seeds that you planted, but make sure that you're also protecting yourself against that unpredictable winter that might be coming your way.
Oh my gosh, so much fun. And we have to have you on again, because this is great information for everyone. But until then, I'm Deb Fear. I've been having a great conversation with Mike Abramowitz. See, I got it right that time. And until next time, everyone have a great day.
Tune in for our next program for even more trends, best practices, and techniques for how to make your business a success. The Business Power Hour, hosted by Deb Creer, is proud to be part of the C-Suite Network.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.